children are going to act out the Bible reading today. We love opening the book in our schools and we always want to take part in it. So today we're doing our own.
Joseph was a carpenter. Joseph was a very good carpenter. Whenever anyone wanted anything made, they would ask Joseph. Whenever anyone wanted anything mended, they would ask Joseph. Joseph was busy. Joseph was very busy. Joseph was engaged to Mary, and he was busy earning money for their wedding day. Joseph was so busy working that when God sent an angel to give him a special gift, the angel had to wait until Joseph was fast asleep before he would listen.
"Joseph,"
whispered the angel.
"Joseph."
The angel repeated, but Joseph was so tired from being so busy that the angel had to whisper into Joseph's dreams.
"Joseph,"
the angel whispered.
"Mary is going to have a baby. He is going to be a very special baby. He has been sent by God. You must marry Mary, and when the baby is born, you must give him the name of Jesus the Saviour."
When he woke up, Joseph was so upset. Joseph was very upset. Mary had told him that she was going to have a baby, a special baby sent by God, and now an angel had told him that Mary was going to have a baby, a special baby sent by God. And Joseph was upset about what he would do if he didn't marry Mary. Who would look after her? If he didn't marry Mary, who would look after the special baby sent by God? Joseph was determined. Joseph was very determined. There was only one thing to do. He would marry Mary and look after her and God's special baby. And with added determination, Joseph went back to work making and mending, busy earning money to look after Mary and God's special baby. Joseph was worried. Joseph was very worried. It was nearly time for Mary's baby to be born, and the Romans had told everyone to return to their homes, towns to be counted. Joseph and Mary would have travelled all the way to Bethlehem, and Joseph was worried that the journey would be too long for Mary. Mary was busy. Mary was very busy that she and Joseph would need for a long journey. Food, water, hay for the donkey, clothes for the new baby, so much to remember, so much to pack. Mary was tired. Mary was very tired. The journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem was long and tiring, and the road was bumpy and busy. Everyone was trying to get to Bethlehem. Everyone was trying to get to Bethlehem before it got dark. Everyone was trying to get to Bethlehem before all the rooms were taken. Mary was worried. Mary was very worried. It was nearly dark, and they had only just arrived in Bethlehem. It was nearly time for her baby to be born, and they had nowhere to stay. The innkeeper nearly shook his head as he opened the door. Then he looked at Joseph and Mary and smiled, he said, and led them to a stable at the back of the inn. Joseph was happy. Joseph was very happy. As Joseph held Mary's tiny baby in his arms, he knew that this was a special baby sent by God, and he gave him the name of Jesus the Saviour.
Dear God, thank you for the Bible and what's in it. Thank you for the birth of Jesus. Please help Charlie to carry on teaching us about God and for us to listen more carefully. Amen.
Amen.
This is such a mess. What are we going to do? Look, everybody, I've got some news. The Queen's coming, okay? And this place is a complete mess. Right, Tom. Where's Tom? I need Tom. Tom! Where are you, Tom? Come and do something useful for a change. Where are you? Come on. Look, clear up this mess, okay? Look, Katrina, come on, look. Do what you're paid for. Come on. Get over your backside. John, James, you're a deputy warden. Get up. Come on, let me be useful. Tidy this place up. The Queen's coming. Look at this. What, I don't know what we're going to do. The place isn't ready. Look, I mean, there's paper everywhere. I don't know what we're going to do. She's coming. I don't know. Look, just. This is no good. I don't even know why we bother anymore. I just Maybe I'll just become a monk and live in the middle of nowhere. But I'm ready. I mean, look, she's coming. She's going to look at the church. She's going to go, well, I don't know why I gave him that job because it was such a mess. I mean, can't even get his cure to Hoover properly. Obviously, Tom doesn't know how to... Bond, clear up! Right, look, okay, we need to get... Look at these people. Look at all these people. They make such a mess. Come on, let's get you clean. Come on. Let's get you clean. Come on. It's such a mess. I don't know what we're going to do. What are we going to do? Look. All right, you guys, we're going to have to stop. We're going to stop. That's as good as it's going to get. That's as good as it's going to get. You have to put up with that, okay? Right. Let's just... Okay, are you ready, everybody? Oh, look. You're all so ugly. We need to be some attractive people in this church. She's going to think, what are we going to do? Oh, God. I don't know. I just... What would you do if the Queen was coming, everybody? How would you feel if I just told you the Queen was coming? You think, oh, lovely, that'd be great. I mean, like, if you heard the Queen was coming to your house, would you wish that you'd known a week ago so that you could have started hoovering? Because of the, yeah, everybody's like, yeah. Yeah, because a lot of us have been spending a long time getting ready for Christmas. I'm just really grateful for Amazon Prime because it just takes a lot of the pressure out of the preparation because you've just realized that actually you've got, 24 hours is probably long enough. I've thrown everything everywhere with my enthusiasm. But what have I done with the remote? There's the clicker. Thank you. If the Queen was coming, I think we'd want to get ready, wouldn't we? Now, she's officially the person who gave me this job, so she's about the only person that can throw me out of it. And, if she was coming, I'd be like, well, we've got to get ready. We've got to get ready. And all these things that you leave and you don't get round to sorting out, and you think that's the time. I mean, our first Christmas in Lutterworth, actually. We'd moved in the May. We had about 7 days to kind of move into the house before I started work. And that was a pretty crazy 7 days. And then basically all the rest of the unpacking of boxes was just then left. So a week before Christmas, I sent Sophie away with the children. And we kind of, there were so many jobs to do to get ready. So when she came back, we'd actually finally got some pictures up on the wall. And, the boxes, if they weren't unpacked, they were hidden now rather than being out in the open. Because we wanted to have a lovely time. And see, if the Queen was coming, you'd want to get ready. And that's what Advent, this season, in the run-up to Christmas, is all about. Hands up if you've been following our Advent stars all around Lutterworth. So all around Lutterworth, you'll be finding each day there's another star that is lit up, another display with another theme, as we count down to Christmas. Hands up if you've been opening an Advent calendar. Keep it up if you've got chocolate in your Advent calendar. Yeah, see, that's the thing. We know it's all about bribery, isn't it? So in Matthew chapter 1, Joseph is merrily going around his business. Now, he'd got engaged to Mary. Sounds lovely. I'm sure she was a lovely girl. The little that we find out about her does seem to think that she's lovely. And he's probably really excited. And just as we heard in the story, he's probably, making sure he's got a bit of money ready to get married, because wives are really expensive. And so he thought, well, I've got to get, make sure I actually get some work done. And along comes an angel. Well, not quite. What first happens is he finds out that his fiance is pregnant, and it wasn't him. So he's a little worried about what's going on. And, there might have been a lot of people that have claimed immaculate conceptions over the years, but he thinks, she loves somebody else, we'll call it a day. What's the point? She obviously doesn't love me. She's got pregnant with somebody else, so maybe we'll just send her off. Let's just quietly end it and move on. But after he considered it, verse 20 of Matthew chapter 1, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. You cannot get away from the miraculousness of this story. Anybody who wants to try and have a nice, rational kind of, oh, this is just normal, oh, there's scientific explanations for everything, comes to the story of Christmas, and you're faced with a miracle. So a miracle is something that cannot normally happen. The normal rules mean this would not happen, and yet it does. And here we find a virgin who was with child. And then an angel appears to Joseph, just in case he thinks she's lying. He says, look, this really is God's child. This is God's child. And I want you to imagine something absolutely impossible, okay? Now, in 1834, a guy called Johannes Redman came back to the Royal Geographical Society and said that he had found snow in Africa. He said he found snow in Africa. And they did not believe him. In fact, one of these very eminent scientists said, you better get your eyes checked if you think there's... Guys, can you sit down? Anyone know where there's snow in Africa? Have you been to Africa? Let's keep your hand up if you've seen snow in Africa. One person, two, three. Is there snow in Africa? What do we think? Hands up if you think there's snow in Africa. Yeah, there was snow in Africa, and it was on the top of Mount Kilimanjaro. But you see, when everybody heard it, they thought it cannot possibly be. How on earth could there be snow in the hottest continent on the planet? They didn't believe it. But there was. You see, when you hear something impossible, you've got to investigate. If you think it's impossible, you see, all these scientists in the Royal Geographical Society, they all thought, we know what exists, we know what's possible, and that isn't. And loads of people do that with Jesus. When they hear that Jesus is born of a virgin, there's a miraculous birth, if they hear about angels coming to people in dreams, they're thinking, yeah, right, whatever. But this is something that needs investigating. And many of us here have done the investigating of this difficulty. How can something impossible be true? And actually, as the angel says to Mary, with God, all things are possible. And I want to bring three things out of this little story here. The first is, did you notice that when God sends his son into the world, he doesn't send him to a palace, we talk about that a lot. Doesn't send him to have a massive court and an entourage and servants to look after him, but he does send him into a family. And I wonder if you're struck when you look at Joseph, that Joseph is a real goodie. He's a real goodie because he's, you know, younger guy, going to get married, excited about it, finds out that his girlfriend's been unfaithful and doesn't want to make a big deal. It's not some sort of first century Jeremy Kyle, let's go and let's scream at each other. No, instead, actually, says, look, let's just end it quietly. He's an honourable man. And he's an honourable man so that when an angel comes and speaks to him, he believes. And God puts his son, yet not in a house even, where Jesus is born and laid in a manger. He doesn't even need all of the worldly goods, but he does need a family. And one of the wonderful things that we have here in church is we have a church family. Some of us live with lots of members of our family. Some of us live alone. Some of us wish we lived alone. But we do know actually that family can take many different forms. But we need each other. A friend of mine is just going to go and work for an organization called Single Friendly Church. Because it can be very difficult sometimes in a church fellowship like this. If everybody comes in their little nuclear families, you know, mum, dad, and 2.4 children, if you're not in that, you can feel left out. And one of the things we look at when we see God send his son Jesus into the world is that God puts Jesus in a family. Yeah, he doesn't have a car, he doesn't have the internet, he doesn't even have a house or a bed, but he does have a family. And that means we need each other. And so whereas it's not the main point of Christmas at all, it is something we need to think about as a church this Christmas. A lot of us on Christmas Day will hunker down into our little nuclear families, or we'll have aunts and uncles or grandparents come and stay. What does it mean for us to be family at Christmas? But there are two names. Now, a little test. Talk to the person next to you. See if you can remember the two names that this baby is given in the Bible passage. Okay, everybody, what do we think? Hands up for one. Let's ask somebody who hasn't answered a question so far. Behind you, Barney. Yes. What are the names? Jesus, yes. Great. And one more name. Hold on. One more name. Over here. Saviour. Yeah, Jesus. Although, interestingly, Jesus means Saviour. There's one other name. One other name. I'm not letting the grown-ups. Not letting the grown-ups have a turn. God, Elliot. What's the other one?
God.
No, no. Actually, Fraser and Elsa, you've said enough in this service already. Come on, somebody who hasn't answered yet. Sophie. Emmanuel, brilliant. Okay, so I want to just quickly tell you what those two names mean. And the first one is Jesus. The first name is... Someone's taking control. The first name is Jesus. And Jesus means God saved. In fact, in the original language, it's probably something more like Yeshua. Very similar to Joshua. And as you look at Jesus, I really think that is what that's who he is. Now, I remember when we were, when Sophie was pregnant with Zebedee, we were trying to come up with a good, Sophie's now looking at me really worried. What is this story? You have not got my permission to tell a story. You think we were really casting around for names, and you're wondering why we didn't find a better one than Zebedee. But we were looking around for names, and some friends of ours had a book full of names. And this book, you know, most of these books, they give you the name and they tell you what it meant, its original language or where it's come from. Well, this book did something a bit different. It had surveyed a whole load of people of each name and then had seen what character traits they had in common. So we looked up Charlie, and it, probably shouldn't have done that, as he loves having people around, he loves throwing dinner parties, he's full of energy, and everyone went, that's not Charlie. Must be completely wrong. But we looked up all these names, and it was like when you open the book, you turn to the name Charlie, I'd find myself described. And it was astonishing how many of the things were true. Well, what you do with the name Jesus, or Yeshua, Joshua, is you open the book, and you look, and you say, what would you see? What would you see under the name Jesus? And what we'd see under the name Jesus is somebody who comes from God, is given a role by God to save people. That is to get rid of the baddies and to save God's people, to save them from all that is bad and give them strength and peace. And every time you hear the name Jesus, I want you to think of that biography. You see, when we look down at the manger, and Jesus is born, and guys, as they laid the baby in the manger, what did they call him? Jesus. They called him Jesus. And I want you to think, as they called him Jesus, they were saying, he is going to grow up to save people. What a thing to do. Do you think? This is just a little baby. He's a homeless baby. He's filling his nappy. You know, he's really not doing anything very impressive at all. And they say, this is Savior. This is Savior. What a thing to say. So the whole time, we're waiting for Jesus to grow up and be our Savior. And what was the other name? What was the other name, guys? Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? Jemima, do you know what Emmanuel means? Somebody? Does it mean Son of God? No? Yes? God is with us. And that's the other name. They shall call his name Emmanuel, and he shall be God with us. Well, at the beginning of my talk, I came in rather panicked, didn't I? I came in rather panicked because the Queen was coming. The boss is coming. And what happens when the boss comes? Everyone has kind of, it's like when a school hears about Ofsted. You know, everyone's there till midnight the night before, putting up the displays that they were meant to put up a few months ago. You know, everyone sort of slightly panics. We've got a scrub. It's like how the Queen, she thinks that Britain smells of fresh paint. Everywhere she goes, everyone scrubbed everything and decorated everything, so it all shows its best. Well, what if God is coming to be with us? Does it mean we panic? Does it mean we rush around madly, trying to kind of paint over the cracks in our lives, trying to say, oh, I've got to put on my best Sunday suit and pretend everything's wonderful? Well, this is where the other name comes in. When God comes to be with us, he doesn't come to point the finger or spot the mistake. He's not going to go through all of your paperwork to find where you failed to match up. No, you see, when Emmanuel comes, when God comes to be with us, he comes, Jesus. He comes to save. God with us to save us. And that's the wonderful news. That's the miraculous news that Joseph heard, that God comes to be with us, not as some scary inspector, but as our Savior. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you so much for this wonderful news. Thank you that it is a miracle, unexpected by most people, certainly the way that you did it. Absolutely wonderful, the best thing that we possibly could have imagined, perhaps not in the way that we would imagine it. And we thank you that when you come to be with us, you come to save. Amen.
Dear God, thank you for everything you have done for us. Sorry if we are not listening to you. Please help the homeless people. Amen. Dear God, thank you for our food. Sorry if we don't care about you. Please look after the homeless people. Amen.
Dear God, thank you for putting shelter over my head and food in my mouth. And thank you for all my family members. Amen.
Dear God, thank you for everything you have given us. Without you, we would not be here today. Thank you. Amen.
Dear God, please help to stop conflict between one another and help people who don't have as much as we do. Amen.
Dear God, thank you for sending your son Jesus. Please help us to understand the message of Christmas. Amen.